The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church in Ackerman, Mississippi. We invite you to visit Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church for worship services every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Macedonia is located at 11 Staten Road on Highway 15, 5 miles north of Ackerman, Mississippi. For more information about Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, you may visit our website at macedonia-pbc.org.
Amen. Appreciate that. And one of the most important topics to rightly divide in Scripture is the purpose of the gospel. And bless their heart, a lot of people get it wrong. They see the gift of the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 2. And that's not the new birth. That is the confirmation, the sealing of the Holy Spirit. You know, you think about that publican that prayed, "God be merciful to me, a sinner." Said that he went down to his house justified. Well, that's not when he was saved to heaven. That was when God put his seal of approval on his own conscience.
Right.
You know, Acts chapter 2, in that same context, and you can turn to Acts chapter 2, by the way. That's where we're going to not deal with that part of it. We're going to be in verse 42. But he says, if you repent and be baptized, this is verse 38 of Acts chapter 2, if you repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, these are people that are already devout believers. You find out earlier in the chapter. And we're told in 1 Peter chapter 3 that the effect of baptism is that now, that's not how you put away the filth of the flesh. That's not how you're saved. But that's how you have the answer of a good conscience.
Amen.
You know, God intends for his children to have assurance of salvation.
Right.
And it's in 1 Peter chapter 5, maybe around verse 13 or 14. I write unto you that believe, these are people that already believe, that ye may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe. You know, why does God give us the gospel? Not to save us eternally. God gives us the gospel so we can know that we have been saved.
Amen.
For God intends for his people to have assurance. And there is a great gift of the Holy Ghost. There is a great sealing with the answer of a good conscience when we believe the gospel, especially when you repent and be baptized. So appreciate those thoughts. And we're going to make our way to Acts chapter 2 and verse 42 and bring some thoughts about fellowship. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And these are the four activities, the four primary activities of the early church. And I want you to notice the effect, just focusing on these four things of the early church. And we are the primitive Baptist church, and primitive is original. So we believe we're the original Baptist church. And there's nothing more original Baptist church than Acts chapter 2. All right. So what did the original Baptist church do? They focused on these four things. But notice the effect after they continued steadfastly. You know, a lot of times it's not about doing a million things halfway. It's about doing one or two things right. You know, they continued steadfastly in four things. And that's the same things that we need to continue steadfastly in. But notice the effect. Notice the effect of focusing steadfastly on these four things. Fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. And they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men, as every man hath need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So they were engaging as a church daily, and surprise, surprise, the Lord added to the church daily. He says that they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Fellowship speaks of a joint participation, a partnership, a intimacy of relationship. And we've been trying to consider what the church looks like and how the church is supposed to function. And I really want us to understand, and I know you know this in your head, but I want us to understand this in practice as well, that the church is not simply a group of people that sit in the same room together for 2 hours once a week, exchange, how are you doing, pleasantries, how are you doing good, how are you doing good, we'll see you next week. That's not what the church is, okay? And I've heard it said, and I'm agreeing with it more and more every day, that the most important function outside of public worship for the church is fellowship.
Right.
It's spending time with one another on a regular basis, and you see how this church was thriving, this original Baptist church was thriving. Why were they thriving? One of the main reasons is because they spent time together every single day. Every single day. And we understand we're not able to do that physically all the time, but we need to as much as we can, and we need to be in constant communication and fellowship. But notice where this fellowship starts at. It starts with a common belief and a unity of the apostles' doctrine, which is salvation by grace alone,
right,
and also the direct, immediate work of the Holy Spirit in regeneration, Brother Morgan. That's a very important part of the apostles' doctrine. But I want you to understand and think about this. There's a line in one of our songs. I have a gift for remembering the middle of the third verse on songs and not being able to find what they are. I just, you know, can't remember choruses and first lines, but I can remember the middle of the third verse for some reason. And one of the lines in one of our songs, and I don't know the name of it, maybe you can help me out on that, is the friends that most cheer me on life's rugged road are the friends of my master, the children of God. And I want you to understand that's how it should be. That's how it should be. And we should have a desire to fellowship with people that have the same beliefs and like-minded goals in life. That's the people we should want to be around. Your best friends, the people you want to spend the most time with, should not be people that go to bars and cuss all the time and want to spend their Sunday mornings going to NASCAR races or even football games. I mean, your best friends should not be people that are not walking in the light. Because guess what? You don't have fellowship. You are the light of the world. You don't have fellowship with people that are in darkness. Now, that doesn't mean we're rude to them. We need to let our light shine and encourage them to the best of our ability. But your best friends should be like-minded believers, okay? We've been talking about the church in very broad terms, right? We have all of the elect, born-again children of God, and then we have the people that have joined the church by baptism, and then we have the local church. Now, think about this in a broader sense, first of all, and then we'll do the same thing, and we'll kind of zoom in as we go. But if you've ever been in a circumstance, if you've been in public schools or in a workplace or some other setting where you have just a whole lot of people in one location, I hope that you have felt, when you're in an environment where general disposition is not necessarily godly, the general disposition is not necessarily, we're talking about the Bible when we're in public worship, when you find someone that is a believer in Jesus Christ, we're not talking about Primitive Baptist Church yet, but when you find someone that's a believer in Jesus Christ, you should have a little bit more of a connection with them than just some regular person in that group, right? Okay? And you've probably met people like that, right? Thankfully, I'm not in a workplace where, you know, it's just a bunch of heathens, you know, but it seems like the person I heard tell this story was in a very poor workplace, and they just found out that some new person that they hired was a believer, and he kind of like came to him like Nicodemus at night, you know, kind of in the corner, you know, I'm so glad to find out there's another believer here, you know. But the fact of the matter is, we should gravitate to people that love the Lord in the manner that we do, okay, in general. Why? Because they're Christians, they're believers, they're children of God. And we should have that desire to be around them and to fellowship with them to the extent that we can fellowship with them in the Spirit, okay? keep your finger there in Acts chapter 2, but Philippians, I think Philippians chapter 2 first. Philippians chapter 2. Those that have been born again by the Spirit of God, we have a common bond, a common unity that people that have not been born again, that don't have the Spirit, don't have, right? And that's why it says in Philippians chapter 2 and in verse 1, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy fill you my joy, you be likewise having the same mind of the same accord of one mind, etc., etc. Any fellowship of the Spirit. So why is it that we have a fellowship with like-minded believers, not necessarily just members of the Primitive Baptist Church, but why is it that we have a fellowship with children of God that love the Lord with other people that we don't have that kind of connection with? What's the difference? It's the Spirit, right? It's that they've been born again by the Spirit of God. Our primary fellowship with people, our common bond with our closest friends should not simply be our profession or our recreation or some other political or social platform that I'm really invested in. That should not be your primary sources of fellowship and partnership. I want you to understand that the whole world is really looking for fellowship. Everyone's looking for fellowship. God didn't make man to be alone.
Right.
He is a triune being, three in one and one in three, and the Trinity had perfect fellowship before the foundation of the world, and God made man in his image. So we were made for fellowship. We were made for fellowship. And even people that, you know, it's not our business to know who's born again, who's not, but there are plenty of people, I believe, that are not born again children of God, but they don't like being alone either. You know, they like being around people. They like being around people who have common interests and things they can have a sense of unity and connection with. And there's a lot of fellowship. I think there's children of God that are replacing the internal desire for fellowship they have with on Sunday, no less, at NASCAR races and NFL football games. Why? Because they are at tailgates spending time with people that they think they have common unity with under a common banner, right? And what poor, deluded thing to have fellowship and a common banner of than a NASCAR driver. You know, I mean, that's just pitiful. Bless their heart. If that's where you find your common unity in, you know, my best friends are people who root for the same NASCAR driver, the same football team that I have, you know. People want to be around people that have a common goal, that have a common belief, that have a common connection with someone else. And I believe there are many children of God that are seeking out, they're craving for fellowship, but because they're not spiritually minded enough, they're seeking it out in a carnal way. And another problem with some churches in Christianity is they allow that, and they cultivate that by having a church softball team. There's not anything wrong with playing softball as a church, you know, if we had enough people. I hope, by the way, I hope one of these days we have enough folks in our church to field a full-scale, even people on the bench, not just starters, but people on the bench and have a church softball, you know, get-together. But I believe that there are believers that the greatest fellowship and unity that they have with people doesn't really have anything to do with the church or with the apostles' doctrine. It's about getting out and having some sporting event or some program. That their church, their fellowship in the church is the softball team. And that's just unfortunate. So we have this fellowship just in a general sense with God's people, because we have the light, we have the Spirit, and we should fellowship with people that that also have the Holy Spirit of God. But I believe that the closest fellowship that we have with people in this world, that we should have with people in this world, are like-minded believers who are committed to the apostles' doctrine.
Amen.
Okay? So, we have fellowship in the Holy Spirit. But then in Philippians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul says in verse 5, Philippians chapter 1, "For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now." And he goes on to say, hey, if there's anyone that shows up preaching another gospel than what I preached to you, you let that man be accursed. And that gospel was the good news of salvation by the sovereign grace of God alone. Okay? And we certainly need to be kind and encouraging to others to the best of our ability for those that don't believe in that. But the Apostle Paul was making no bones about it. There is not another gospel. And if anyone comes in the church, in the Primitive Baptist Church especially, comes preaching another gospel, you kick that man out, okay? You let him be accursed. But we just don't have as close a fellowship and connection with people who say, you've got to go live a good enough life for Jesus to let you into heaven, you know? I just can't have this close of fellowship as I have with you for people that, even if they don't understand the implications of their doctrine that says that Jesus is not sufficient for you to go to heaven. You've got to do something. You've got to add to it. Jesus made salvation possible. He did his part. I like being around people. I know you've heard this in the past too. You love being around people that understand total depravity, that understand we are just poor, weak, and worthless, and we don't deserve anything of the Lord. You know, it's good to be around people like that, because those are the people that are not bitter all the time.
Amen.
About everything in life. Instead, we see everything that we do get as a blessing, and all the bad stuff that doesn't happen, I deserve it, but God's gracious, and he's loving, and he's merciful, and we have fellowship in that, don't we? We have fellowship because we know we are such wretched sinners, and the only thing that we have good, we know the only place the good comes from, right? It comes down from above. The only good in this world is from God. But I just don't have as much fellowship with someone who says, you know what, I sure am glad that I did something so I could go to heaven. I just can't be that close with you in the manner that I can with people that believe in the sovereignty of God and salvation, that realize we're so unworthy of the least of God's blessings.
Right.
And I'll tell you, that was the apostles' doctrine, wouldn't it? There were some people in Acts chapter 15 that started saying you got to be circumcised, you got to obey the law, and the apostles put their foot down and said, no, you don't tip God, by the way. I'll tell you, we need to be gentle. We need to be gentle when we talk to other people in other denominations.
Right.
But Scripture's not that gentle, okay? The apostles said, you are tempting God. If you are adding anything to the sovereignty of God and salvation, you are tempting God, but worse yet, you are detracting from the glory of God and salvation. And not only are you detracting from the glory of God, you are putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples that they were not intended to bear. And then, this is the first article of faith. You want to know what the primitive original Baptist church believed? This is the first article of faith that they had.
Right.
This is how we word our articles of faith. They denied salvation by works, all right? They say it's tempting God for you to think you can add anything to the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. The first article of faith of the original Baptist church, of the original apostles' doctrine is, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. And I'll tell you, that we don't have it worded just like that. By the way, I believe the articles of faith, the way they're structured, I really appreciate the wisdom that our forefathers had in doing that. And as I was trying to think through composing my, what is a Primitive Baptist book, you know, if someone didn't know anything about, we're not talking about Primitive Baptist, it didn't know anything about Christianity, okay? if somebody didn't know anything about Christianity, where do you start at? Well, you start at there is one God.
Right?
Because everything we believe is about the Scriptures. But the Scriptures aren't relevant if Allah is God or Buddha's God or some other. No, where do you start at? There is one God. And I'm glad that's where our articles of faith start at, right? And then what's right after that? There is one God. And then the second one is, we believe the Scriptures of the Old and New Testament are divinely inspired and preserved Word of God, right? So we start out with there's one God, and now is His Word, one God and His Word. So now everything else we believe is established by the Word of God. But the first article of faith of the original Baptist Church is we believe in sovereign grace. The sovereignty of God and salvation by nothing more than His unmerited and free grace and favor upon unworthy, totally depraved sinners. Okay? I have a greater intimacy of fellowship with people who believe that same thing. Okay? You know, in admonitions to take up your cross and follow Jesus and to be baptized, Jesus and the apostles talk about counting the cost. And you know, not everyone in our natural families, definitely not everyone in our friend group, is going to believe what we believe, maybe not, certainly not to the extent that we believe it and we're committed to it. So therefore, if there's someone that is not supportive of your commitment to believe the apostles' doctrine and to believe to the and join the Primitive Baptist Church, if there's someone in your family or in your friend group that is not supportive of that, he says, you know what? There's going to have to be some loss. There's going to have to be some forsaking of some friendships and some relationships. Why? Because the kingdom of God is first and foremost. The kingdom of God is more important. And there are more blessings. Now, that doesn't diminish the sting of having a natural relationship, a father and a son, or a mother and a daughter, or, you know, a grandfatherly figure. You know, it stings. You know, it'll sting when you say that I'm committed to the Primitive Baptist Church because I believe that the Scriptures teach that we're saved by grace alone, not by works, not by anything that we do. And I want to follow God in discipleship. I want to follow the Lord according to what I see in the Scriptures. There is loss and there is pain in that. But those admonitions also tell you about the 100-fold blessings you receive in the kingdom. Okay? If we don't have fellowship with those people that don't believe what we believe, we need to seek out those people that do, okay? And sometimes there is some changing of relationships that has to happen to say, you know what? I'm going to honor the Lord, put Him first and foremost, and I hope if I'm committed to the doctrine and committed to the church in the manner that I ought to, hopefully I can influence that other party. Right? There's been plenty of people. I know Brother Morgan's lived that out too. That many people that they came to the church and they endured some of those very challenging, uncomfortable situations. But in time, God brought the rest of their family along with them. Okay? The greatest fellowship we have are with those that believe the same gospel.
Amen.
That we believe, which is the gospel of salvation by grace alone, of the sovereignty of God and salvation. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2. And the reason why fellowship is so important is because when we fellowship one with another, it's not just that we're fellowshipping with our friend or our brother in the church, it's that we are fellowshipping with Jesus. Okay? It's just like how we've been talking about the purpose of the church to glorify God and serving others and loving our neighbor. Well, the closest we can come to serving Jesus is by serving someone else, by serving a member of the church or a person that's in need. That's the closest we can come to serving Jesus. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 18, and I know this verse is used very often to, I believe the principle is accurate, you know, but the context is not really dealing with that. For churches that only have a handful of people in worship, and they say, well, we're two or three gathered together in my name, the Lord's there with them. That's a true principle. But Matthew chapter 18 is actually talking about reconciling personal offenses, okay? It's not a pleasant, this is not a happy public worship context. No, it's talking about reconciling personal offenses. But when you approach reconciling personal offenses with a humble spirit, with a loving spirit, and praying for the Holy Spirit, and you're both approaching that in the right way, and two or three are meeting together to try to reconcile this issue, and the Holy Spirit is guiding that, then he says that Jesus is right there with you, even in a negative sense. Okay, so I want you to think about that. If he's right there with you in a negative sense, reconciling personal offenses in a very uncomfortable situation, how much more so would God be with you in a positive sense when we're meeting to talk about Scripture and we're meeting to fellowship together under the context and the banner of fellowshipping in the gospel, right? That's what's so special about fellowship. And fellowship can be of many scales, right? You can have two people, you can have three people, but the more people you have that hopefully you're approaching that with the right spirit, the more that magnifies it, okay? It's the best way I can put it. In other words, we can have fellowship one with another, and we can have fellowship with Jesus Christ with just two people, with just a husband and a wife and a father and a son. But then the more people you add to that, the greater presence of Jesus we can feel in the middle of that fellowship, right? I don't want to deify annual meetings, you know, but there's something special when you have a large group of people that are all there for the same common unity and purpose, and we can feel the presence of the Holy Spirit there strongly, right? Amen. But you can also feel it with just a husband and a wife and children and a family.
Right.
Now, the more you add to it, the more it's magnified. Is what I'm saying. 1 John chapter 1 and in verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life. See, John, the Apostle John was in a very unique circumstance that he had the ability to fellowship with Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh. And you want to talk about close? He laid upon the breast of Jesus. He's described as being the apostle whom Jesus loved. Now he loved all the apostles, and he loves all his people, but he had a special intimate relationship with Jesus. And he says, look, I know what it was like personally to fellowship with Jesus in this life. But then he goes on to say in verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his son, Jesus Christ. You know, think about a triangle. And you have Jesus at the top of the triangle, and you have two other people that are fellowshipping together. Well, the closer that we get to the top of the triangle, the closer we get to Jesus, the closer we are getting in proximity, okay, to one another. So the closer we get to one another, if we're doing things properly, the closer we get to Jesus. The closer we get to Jesus. You know, we were talking about the purpose of the church, and that a Presbyterian mantra, that the purpose of man and the purpose of the church is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. So we were made for what? We were made for fellowship with God, right? We were made for fellowship with God, and praise the Lord, we will have fellowship with God in all of eternity. But the way that we fellowship with God now is by fellowshipping one with another. Does that make sense? That's the big headline, all bold headline that I want you to understand today. We fellowship with Jesus by fellowshipping one with another. And the Apostle John is saying, look, I was able to lay my head on the breast of the Son of God. But you can have just as close a fellowship with Jesus as I did in a natural sense by you fellowshipping with Jesus in the context of the church and other believers. Isn't that amazing to think about?
Amen.
You understand what he's saying there? The intimacy of relationship that John had with Jesus, of laying his head upon God, upon Jesus, he says, you can have that close of relationship with Jesus by you having fellowship one with another. And when we get that, right? When we get that, why would we not want to be fellowshipping together daily to the best of our ability? And I'm not using you, you know, we can't be, you know, selfish about it. I'm using you as a means to an end, right? You know, I got to get somebody over here so I can, you know, fellowship with Jesus. But it should be a natural expression, right, of, by the way, what's the greatest commandment? Love God with all of your heart, all your soul, all your mind. Don't you want to be around people that have that same burden and desire to love God with all their heart and all their soul and all their mind?
Amen.
That's who you can have fellowship with, right? And I'll tell you, if you've got two people that have that, and more hopefully, that have that same goal, that have that same mindset, I'll tell you, that's a place that Jesus will show up in fellowship with you. You know, we've talked about Jesus singing in the congregation with us. That's a special thing to think about too, isn't it?
Amen.
That doesn't just have to do with public worship either. When we had a chance to sing last night, Jesus sings right along with us. And again, that's magnified too, isn't it? If it's just two or three people sing, I think Jesus is right there in the midst of it, but you can feel it so much more strongly, right? When you have such a larger group of people, it's magnified, the larger group that it is. But think about that. We start singing, and it's almost like Jesus shows up right then to sing along with us. Well, that's what happens when we fellowship too. You understand that? That when we have fellowship, Jesus shows up right along with us. To fellowship along with us. And if we desire fellowship with Jesus, if we desire fellowship with God and with the Holy Spirit, then we want to put ourselves in position to be able to have that fellowship, don't we? Right? Let's close in Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. And when we fellowship together, there's not anything wrong with, you know, talking about current events and talking about things that are going on or in the specific circumstance of Macedonia Church, Mississippi State Athletics. There's not anything wrong with that. And it can build relationships. It can build a common unity to understand that people, you know, they care about you and build relationships and things like that. But our primary fellowship should not be talking about the weather and politics. That's what people out in the world talk about. Okay? Our primary fellowship, our primary communication should be of spiritual things. Should be of the Word of God. Because, by the way, you should be reading your Bible every single day. And if you're reading your Bible every single day, there should be some things you want to talk about. There should be some questions you have. There should be some things, and I hope that maybe we're following that same pattern of, if we're all following that reading plan together in your own track, well, you know what? You should all kind of be reading the same things every week. You may get behind and have to catch up and things like that. But generally, if we're doing that together as a church, you know, you have been reading about Moses in the Red Sea this week. Okay? So that means that there should be some topic of conversation around the Word of God. Why? Because we're investing in the Word of God. And that is our common unity, right, in the Word of God. Malachi chapter 3, in verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. Now, what's the common banner that these people have? The fear of the Lord. Okay? These are people that are born again. These are members of the church. They that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. And there's a lot of depth of this language that I really can't really mind, but it's just amazing to think about the fact that when God's people that fear the Lord fellowship together, but we're not just fellowshipping together, what are we talking about? They spake often one to another, but We're talking about the name of God that thought upon his name, that meditated on his name. So when we're fellowshipping together and meditating on the name of God and the word of God, not just does Jesus show up with us there in the midst, but think about the God of heaven taking out a little notepad. Now, he's got to break this down. He's a spirit, you know, and he doesn't literally do this, but he just like he has to do in Scripture, he has to break it down to our level, he has to break it down to our mindset. But just think about the fact of God who's running the universe takes a note and says, you know what, I'm going to make note that my children, and lists out the names, my children were fellowshipping together and thinking on my name together. And then, how does he view that? That we are jewels in the sight of God. And we're not trying to to do that just so we can have a lot of notations in God's book. It's about fellowship with Jesus. It's about feeling the presence of God. And we feel the presence of Jesus. We feel the presence of God when we fellowship one with another. The same fellowship that John had with Jesus as a natural man. You know, it would be easy for us to look at that and say, you know what, I'll just never be able. Those apostles had it so great, and I'll never be able to feel Jesus and fellowship with Jesus the way they did until I get to heaven. The Apostle John says, you can have the same intimate fellowship that I had with Jesus. Well, how do you do that? It's by fellowshipping one with another. It's by moving up the sides of that triangle, right? Us pushing toward the same goal, pushing toward the same point. And the closer we get to Jesus, the closer we will be. And that's where we need to be as a church, right? The closest we're going to be as a church, the most unified we're going to be as a church, is when we're all pushing toward the same direction. We're all pushing toward the head. We're all pushing toward Jesus. And we can have fellowship with Jesus as we fellowship one with another.
We thank you for listening to today's message and invite you to visit Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church for worship services every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Macedonia is located at 11 Staten Road on Highway 15, 5 miles north of Ackerman, Mississippi. For further information about Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, you may visit our website at macedonia-pbc.org.